and it's the time for gadget lovers and tech fans, because the gadget detective Fevzi Türkalp joins us with his roundup of the news and also a couple of gadgets to bring to our attention. Don't forget you can follow his podcast for free. Gadgetdetective.com is the place to find that, or on Alexa, Apple products, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, etc. How's things, Fevzi?
Very good. Thank you very much.
Very nice to have you with us as usual. And the EU has reached an agreement which it hopes will curb the dominance of big tech. Well, good luck with that, guys, because that's proved quite a tricky nut to crack, hasn't it, for a few years
well,
now?
Well, it's interesting because we were talking about UK legislation last week, I think,
yeah.
And this has only taken them a year to make a mess of it, whereas it took our government 4 years to make a hash of theirs. Never let it be said the EU is not efficient. Right, so this is the Digital Markets Act, yet to be signed into law, but it looks like it's going to be. And as you mentioned, it's designed to curb the dominance of big tech companies, and it does only apply to big tech companies. They'd have to have a value of more than 75 billion euros, annual sales of 7.5 billion euros, and at least 45 million monthly users. So not going to affect my website, certainly. So that's all I care about. So this is I think I used this expression the other week. This is a curate's egg. Okay, so there are, it's all about antitrust, anti-competitive behavior. Companies like Google, Meta, as they now are, and Apple, do things that can be defined as antitrust. And some of the changes, I think, are good. For example, Apple would be forced to open up the App Store to third-party payment options. At the moment, you have to pay using Apple's payment method, and they make money on that. I don't have an objection to that, because that's not the core of the service. That's just, competition on the payment side of it. Google would be asked make sure that when people have an Android smartphone, that they're offered an alternative search engine, in the way, if you remember, that Microsoft was forced to many years ago when Microsoft had great dominance.
That does ring a very old bell, yes. How could we forget?
It was killing off things like Netscape, which it actually did. It's quite interesting because, and I'll come to my point on this later, but Microsoft is not the dominant force in modern devices that it was when everyone had a beige-coloured Windows PC. The world has changed a lot, and it is quite interesting what happens to companies that get. We've got to be careful not to over-regulate them as well. So targets of this law would include WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, iMessage. Now, one of the things I disagree with is that they're going to be forced to make iMessage, which is Apple's own messaging system that goes between Apple devices, they're going to be forced to open that up. Now, one of the reasons why I spend my own money on Apple devices, I don't only spend it on that, but when I do, one of the reasons for that is we've discussed this before. Remember that expression I use, the walled garden?
Yes.
So Apple control everything about the product. Yeah. So they make the hardware, they write the operating system, and then they can write the software as well. And that enables them to do some very clever things that are good for the consumer, and it also allows them to protect our privacy and our security. And they've done a great job with protecting privacy. This is why the likes of Facebook is up in arms, because because of its position and its control over its part of the environment, it's been able to force apps to declare what information they gather from us in their apps, and it's been able to force them to not steal data from us in quite the same rate, and it's actually had a tangible hit on Facebook's advertising revenues. So this is a really good thing. But if they are forced to open up everything, if they are forced, for example, to make the iMessage system compatible with Android devices, then their control over the security of what goes on at each end is diminished. And I don't see the need for this, because as an Apple iPhone user, I can still send a text message to an Android user. In fact, when I send a message, I don't even have to know what the other person is using. If you're using an iPhone, then it will go as a blue bubble, which is iMessage. But if you, as the recipient of my message, are using Android, then it will go as a green bubble, which indicates it's gone as a text message. So it's not as though anyone's being stopped from using this sort of system that works all over the place, which is, you know, text messaging. iMessage is for Apple users, and it's one of the reasons why people buy Apple devices, because iMessage works really well. And they're going to mess that up. The other thing is, if they force Apple, and it's not just about Apple, but I have particular concerns, if they force Apple to allow other app stores, so at the moment there's only one app store and it's controlled by Apple. And personally, I say fair game to them. They invented their iPhone. They provide the services. They run the app store. It's a bit like telling shops what they have to stock. But if they do that, then Apple will lose control of the process of checking that apps are safe. So if you look at how Google do it with the Play Store, I mean, this is simplification, but pretty much they allow anything to go up there, and then when it's found to be problematic, then they may take it down. Apple, on the other hand, have a process which is imperfect, but it tries to pre-vet apps before they go to make sure that they're not malware, for example. They're not going to steal data inappropriately. If there are other app stores, they lose the ability to do that. And although they're, you know, the EU calls them gatekeepers, they are gatekeepers, but they're gatekeepers of the building that they built and own. And no one is obliged to use their stuff. They don't have a monopolistic... you know, Apple is not, you know, dominant in the way that Microsoft was dominant before in terms of market share. Right, right. So I think, you know, there are some very good things in here. But I think they have to be careful not to blight it. Because, you know, think of the dominance that BlackBerry had. Yeah. Who's got a BlackBerry anymore? Nobody.
Yes. Yeah.
Think about what the dominance that Nokia had. You know, Nokia exists again now, but only as a brand name. It's a different company, and it doesn't have the sort of dominance that it had before. So tech companies can come and go. That doesn't mean they don't need to be regulated, but we need to be careful. One of the reasons, and I'll just make this as a final point, one of the reasons why Western companies, American, European companies, almost have no capability to produce 5G hardware is because American antitrust regulations, going back decades, nobbled some of the large American companies who then didn't have the money to invest in those systems, which now means that we have to have these arguments about whether we can risk having Chinese hardware in our infrastructure systems because we nobbled our companies. So
you can't do right for doing wrong, in other words.
Well, look, what it means, you need to have a very fine touch in what you do with this.
You need to have people like Fevzi Turkat. We've talked about this with the British legislation.
That every week. But there are things that need to be addressed, but it's more to do with, for example, I'm much more concerned with privacy. Yeah, I'm much more concerned with that companies like Facebook or Meta are allowed to make a business model that's predicated on give it for free and use that spyware to scrape all the data off our existence that they can possibly do and monetize it. To my mind, and this is my opinion, not the BBC's, that's a dirty business model and shouldn't be allowed. Yeah, that's the things that should. So that's the thing that should be addressed first and foremost. This other stuff, yes, some of it is good, but not all of it is good. And I think the European Union, and I'm a great fan of the EU, you know, but on this occasion, they've shown a zeal that is not matched by their understanding of the issue.
So it's Tech Time with Fevzi Turkat, the gadget detective, and it's gadgets, plural, of the week. Two sets of headphones to talk about today, Fevzi.
Yes. So, two sets of headphones, very different types. So I thought I'd sort of compare and contrast them. So the first set is from a company called Jabra. Jabra, I don't know if you know the name, but they are well known not only for sort of consumer audio things like earbuds and headphones, but they go right up into the business space of doing some very high-end sort of business conferencing equipment and business headsets. So they, you know, but what I the reason I mentioned that is a lot of that know-how and quality has sort of filtered down into their consumer offerings. So this particular one is a pair of earbuds. They're called the Jabra Elite 85T, and they're advanced active noise cancelling true wireless earbuds. Okay, so these are the little ones that fit inside the ear. There's loads of them. Why are these special? Well, for one thing, the advanced noise cancelling is very good, so it's active. And what that means is, in this case, there are six microphones, three on each of these little earbuds, that listen to the noise from the outside world coming from every direction and cancel it. And in that way, when you're using it, for example, for a telephone call, it can tell what is your voice coming from your mouth as opposed to what is background noise, and it can cancel the background noise.
Nice.
And even in relatively noisy environments, it does a good job of cancelling that. Plus, it's got a slider. So on a lot of these active noise cancelling things, you either got it on or off. Here you can just set how fierce you want the noise cancelling to be. So
great.
So that's kind of clever.
It is.
Exactly. And it's also got a feature called hear through. So let's say you've got active noise cancelling on and someone walks up to you and starts talking to you, and you don't want to take the earbuds out, but you can just cancel the noise cancelling and hear what they're saying to you, have a conversation, then reactivate it very quickly. So that's all rather good. All of that would be for naught if it wasn't for the fact that the sound quality is good. Despite the diminutive nature of these earbuds, the little speaker that fits inside each one has a diameter of 1.2 centimetres, which is almost the diameter of the whole thing. So they managed to wedge in quite a big little speaker inside each one. And that means you get good sound quality and good bass response as well, which I like. Battery life is also good, despite the fact they're very little, ickle little things, that they will last for about 5.5 hours on the battery inside them. But it comes with a case which itself has a battery. So when you pop them out of your ears and you pop them in the case, then that 5.5 hours rises to 25 hours. And that's if you're using the active noise cancelling, which actually consumes some of the battery life. If you switch off the ANC, then that rises to over 30 hours. So what you do is you charge the earbuds whilst they're in the case, and it charges the battery in the earbuds and the battery in the case at the same time. You go out, you know, you're literally good for a whole 25 hour plus period. So very good in that regard as well. It's got something called My Sound, which allows you, you know, like a hearing aid test where they test your hearing at different frequencies.
Yep.
And then when they tune a obviously you don't know, but when they tune a hearing aid, they will boost the frequencies where an individual's hearing is deficient.
Oh.
So if you're not so good at mid-range or bass or whatever.
Glad to hear they've got that sophisticated these days.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
But they do that with this. They've got the My Sound app, and you can do your own little hearing test, and then it will just tailor the sound to that. It's got built-in Alexa as well. Sorry I said that word.
Yes.
But
oh, no.
I'm so sorry.
Mayhem around the counter.
I know. I did it on purpose. What can I tell you? the app is also rather good. So all in all, now, the really good thing is, so the list price for these is £219.99. When I checked the price earlier, it was £166, and I gave it 4 stars out of 5 for all the reasons above. I've just checked it now. That's dropped to £119. That's almost £50 lower. So
it's got to be worth half a star. Surely.
Doesn't that push it up
to 4.5 now?
I think it does, because it takes into account value. So we've got 4.5 stars out of 5 at 119. I'm not sure how long it'll be at that price for. Go find wherever it is when it's at that price. It won't take you very long.
No.
Very, very quickly.
Think big women and you'll be there, as we often say.
I always do that.
Yeah.
The second set is very different. It's what's called an advanced gaming headset. It's from a brand called HyperX, H-Y-P-E-R, capital X, and it's called the Cloud Orbit S, not to be confused with other similarly named headsets from HyperX. Now, it's interesting, because although this is marketed as a gaming headset, and it's a very good gaming headset, the things that make it good also make it good for working from home and online education and listening to music as well. For example, the little speakers that go inside are really not little, because this is a big thing that sits over your head. These are 10 centimetre speakers in the 100 millimetres across on each ear. So again, you get this very big sound. They've got this technology called Waves NX, and it gives you this sort of immersive experience. You know, when you sit, I don't know if you've ever sat in someone's home where they've got 5.1 or 7.1 surround speakers, so either 6 or 8 speakers all the way around you, including behind you, and you watch a film and you hear spaceships flying over your head. And it's like being in the cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
This recreates a version of that. It's completely immersive. So if you're in a game and you're in a battle situation, God forbid, but, you know, you actually can hear everything around you as if it was there. If you're in a zombie apocalypse, you can hear them coming up behind you, to your left, to your right, and all of that. So it's a very immersive experience. In addition to the good sound quality and the immersive experience, you've got good connectivity. So it's got USB Type A, Type C, 3.5mm. So it'll work with PCs, PlayStations 4s, Xbox Ones, Macintosh, Nintendo Switch, and a whole raft of other things. So very, very flexible. Also good if you want to use it for things other than gaming. Typical price for this, not cheap, £270, but probably the best of its ilk. 4 stars out of 5. I love the immersive sound. It's quite, you know, it's quite devastating. I always think when people buy tellies, they think of the screen and is it OLED and what's the side.
Never worry about that.
They think of the screen.
Yeah.
And the sound is terrible, and the flatter they get, the worse the sound becomes. And just budget, you know, 10% even of what you spend on the telly on the sound system.
So true. It's, so true.
You know, and the enjoyment. I mean, who cares if it's HD or 4K? Most people can't tell the difference. Mm. And more important, is it a good film or not?
Is it a good film? And can you understand the dialogue over the background music? Those are the two.
That's very good. And oh, by the way, so the first set of headphones we discussed, the Jabra, is very good for that because you can boost the frequencies where the dialogue is.
We must leave it there for today.
Four stars out of five. Yes.
Thank you so much, Fevzi. We will do it again in a week's time. That is your Gadget Detective. Don't forget to follow him. GadgetDetective.com.